Get your Bibles out. Get ready for the Word in just a moment. But we need to hear testimonies like this. My team and I were able to pray and minister to several people. And I don't see any of my team. Well, here's one. You are off with another area. But we knocked on a couple doors in particular. And this big, tall guy with hair comes to the door. He's got solid lead rings on his fingers that if he wanted to take me out, it wouldn't have taken too much to take me out. I'm looking at this big dude, and we say, hey, we're here just to give you gifts because Jesus loves you. And this big smile comes on his face. And he says, awesome. He said, I've got my mom here, and my mom has cancer. And he says, can you pray for her? I said, absolutely, we'll pray for her. And I shared with them my testimony. And as we began to pray for this frail mother, this great big tall guy began to weep like a baby. And the presence of God came over him so strong that he reached over and he grabbed me and literally lifted me off of my feet and shook me around like a rag doll because he was so happy that we cared about them enough to just come and pray for him and love on him. Just powerful, powerful. People are in need, folks. People are in need. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your anointing and your presence. And now, Father, I thank you as we go to the Word of God that you will open up our hearts, give us divine revelation, and in our hearts and our minds, bring to us the freedom of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Just get your Bible ready. We'll go to some verses in just a moment. But I'm going to continue from last Sunday when we were talking about, we've actually been teaching about encounters of transformation. Somebody say encounters of transformation. We talked about in Genesis 28 where Jacob dreamed a dream. He was at a certain place and he dreamed a dream. God always needs to get us to a certain place. I want you to know something. As the Spirit of God works on your life, it's to bring you to a certain place in Christ where he can begin to do a work in your life that has been greater than you've ever known before. And you will experience with him multiple encounters like that at a certain place. My favorite place of the certain place with God is right here at this altar. It's my favorite place. It's my favorite place to walk and pray. It's my favorite place to kneel. It's my favorite place to sing praises to the Lord. It's a certain place. It's a place of encounter. In Jacob's place of encounter, he had a dream. And in his dream, he saw angels forming a ladder. He didn't see a physical ladder like we would picture in our mind. But as the Bible says, there were angels going up and down this ladder. But the angels were literally forming this ladder. So they were ascending and descending and downloading and prophetic stuff into Jacob's life. And Jacob said, this is the house of God. And I didn't even realize God was here. And then he spoke very powerful another prophetic word, and he said, this is also the gate of heaven. Two divine revelations that we talked about last Sunday And that is, number one, the house of God, and secondly, the gate of heaven. The house of God, meaning in the New Covenant, the New Testament, that every born-again believer is the house of God. That's why Paul in Corinthians says, don't defile your body, because your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because don't defile the temple, because you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. But really, rather protect and to guard your temple. You are a temple of the living God. If we could catch the revelation of that in its power, in its deepest form, then we would realize that there are a lot of things in this world that come at us that we would put a wall up and say, no, you can't come at me because I'm the temple of the living God. And I want the Spirit of God and all that He is coming in my life and dwelling in me. How about you? Is that your heart? You want as the temple of God, you want to bring Him glory. You want more power of the Spirit in your life. You are the temple of the living God. And then he gives a second revelation, and he said, this is the place also of the gate of heaven. Now, it's interesting because he was not saying that everybody, if you want to go to heaven or you want to experience God, has to go to that very place that he named Bethel, and at that place, that will be the gate that gets you into heaven. That is not the prophetic word. When he said, this is the gate of heaven, he was referring to the mind of every human being. It was a type and shadow in his dream of understanding the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven is the mind, the thoughts, the entrance points where the mind chooses and the mind decides. And the mind affects faith in the heart, and the mind allows or hinders the things of God to come into our life. It's the gate, the same gate that the Bible says the gates of hell will try to come and infiltrate a person's life through that gate. But because the power of God is greater, somebody say, the power of God is greater. That when you shut the gate to the enemy, then it's as Jesus said, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. They can't prevail because you've opened the gate of heaven, or you've brought your mind into subjection of the Spirit of God, and it has become the gate of heaven, so that out of heaven God can bring to you divine revelation and even make things, as Jesus said, for us to pray that His kingdom come on earth, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that gate is the opening place to allow that heavenly power to be made manifest in our temple and then in the earth. The greatest battle is at the gate of heaven, or the gate of our minds. Where the greatest battle is fought. But that's where the greatest victory is received. When we open up our mind, the gate of our mind. That's why the Bible said in the Psalms, open up the gates, and the King of glory will come in. Who is that King of glory? The Lord God Almighty is that King of glory. Amen. And so we open up our minds. So in this revelation, we discovered some powerful things. That as the mind is the gate to heaven. Now, let's pick it up here. And I want to add this to the thoughts, because the mind is made up of chambers of imagery. Somebody say, chambers of imagery. All right? Very important. Ezekiel 8 and verse 12. Just write that down, and because it's very important to understanding the chambers of imagery. So our mind, in the gate of our mind, we can open up and allow God to fill chambers, or we can resist God and let the world fill the chambers of our mind. It's our decision. It's our choice. We choose. All right? But God will empower you by the Spirit of God to keep your mind and your heart through Christ Jesus, okay? But there's chambers of imagery. In Ezekiel 8, it says that those chambers were near the altar gate or the entrance to the court of worship. So anytime you come into the house of God and you want to worship the Lord, you've got to open the gate to allow the Spirit to come. You've got to resist the enemy, all right? Cast down every imagination, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. Cast down every imagination and every thought that acknowledges itself against the character of God. Cast it down, all right, so that the Spirit of God can work. So these chambers he talks about were near the altar of the gate. Now, stay with me. This is going to get really powerful. Now, the altar gate was the entrance into the glory or the presence of God. The altar gate is that entrance into the glory of the Lord. So there's a gate in our mind that we close to the things of the world so that the glory of the Lord can come in, excuse me, to the house of God, your temple, and then to the throne of your heart where the Spirit of God, the glory of the God, rules. And there manifests himself in your life. All right? So these chambers of imagery in the Bible are called an apartment or an inner room or an inward part. Every one of us have something in our life, somewhere in our mind, that you have never told a soul. You have locked it away in a chamber, and the image of that thing, no matter what it was, if it was a failure in your past life or something of that nature, and I say past life meaning before Christ. I'm not talking New Age. All right? Because when we die, we die. We don't come back as any animals or any insects or anything like that. We go to be, come on, we go into the glory of heaven, and then one day we'll come back with him in divine revelation. Amen. Hallelujah. That's Hinduism that believes that, and New Age believes that. But now watch this. There are chambers that we have never told anyone about, that the Spirit of God wants to come in and renovate and open the gate to that thing so that that thing cannot come back and hinder you in your life ever again. It doesn't have the power, more power than God does. And so when you open your mind to the gate of heaven, because you are the house of God, the glory of the Lord will come into every chamber and begin to clean house. Come on, somebody. You know, bitterness and anger aren't just lodged in your heart. They are locked into a chamber of the mind. And when a feeling gets stirred up, the mind will in that chamber begin to say, you need to get angry, you need to get mad, you need to do this, you need to do this other thing. And if the Spirit of God isn't in control of the gate of our mind, which opens to heaven, then the enemy will try to control your life. But by the Spirit of the Lord, somebody say, the Spirit of the Lord, who controls our minds, will bring about the liberty that we need. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. This is good preaching. The chambers of imagery. And whatever that image has been of bondage, the Spirit of God will tear that image down like the idol Dagon that fell in the temple before the throne of God. Come on. I'm telling you there, listen, our world is full of idolatry. And I want you to know that there's a day when every earthly god, every fleshly carnal god is going to fall on its face before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every chamber hidden of things are going to be opened and revealed. Come on, somebody. And freedom. Freedom and liberty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. An imagery is a figure of carved. And in Ezekiel's day, it was carved. What he saw was carved on a wall of carnal and ungodly things. So the mind has to do with chambers. There are chambers of wickedness. There are creeping things Ezekiel talks about. Abominable beasts, idols, all those kind of things. But now watch this. Because in the mind, there are passageways. Somebody say passageways. See, when you come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior by His conviction on your soul, man, and you decide to say yes, what happened is the gate of the mind was opened enough for the Spirit of God to impart faith in your heart so that you could say, yes, Jesus. And He comes in to the passages and the chambers, and He begins to renovate. Now watch this. It is also called closets. Closets. Or in other words, a place of hidden things from God. When I was a kid, growing up at Christmas time, and my mom would make presents, we always knew where she hid them. They were in her closet. And my two older brothers and I, before the others were still too young to figure out what was going on. And one of them would stand guard at the bedroom door. And the other two would go over to the closet of the bedroom and open it up. And if they were wrapped, they would begin to tell each other, this one's yours. This one's also yours. Where's mine? And they... I'm kidding you not, this true story. And they would dig through the closets. And they would try to find. And then when they found, they would shake to awake. There's a big shaking going on in our world today. Come on, especially at Christmas time. And they would shake them and they would rattle them and they would try to guess what's in them. And then I think I always got stuck with the door. I'd go, here she comes. And they would throw everything back in the closet as fast as they could and shut the door and run out and stand by me outside the door like nothing's going on. Hey, Mom. A chamber is like a closet, a place of hidden things from God. But now here's what God in the scripture calls a closet as well, a chamber. He calls it a secret place. How many of you know that there are some secret places in your spirit man and in your mind that you can go and get alone with God where there's nothing else to hinder you there or harass you there or to lie to you there? Come on, somebody. There's a secret place. Jesus talked about that secret place in the Bible. There's a secret place of the Most High God. David talked about it in Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my strength, my fortress, my God, and Him will I trust. There's a gate that gets opened up to the secret place where the Spirit of God comes into that chamber, the very holy chamber in your life where you worship Him and you love Him and you glorify Him. And He says, let me into the other chambers. Hello. the secret place. Because the secret place is the presence of God. It's the altar gate that the Bible talks about. But the mind gate, all right, the secret things of God, the Bible says, are filled with the presence and the power of God. It's where the spirit man gets renewed. It's where the mind gets renewed. It's where the battle is won and conquered, in the secret place. But now watch this. Because the gate of the heaven, the mind, the gate of heaven, can be defined this way. It is an entrance into a new realm. How many of you want to know God in greater ways than you've ever known Him before in your life? There is a gate of heaven that opens up to the depths of God that you have never known before. It's a new realm. There is passage through that gate. It's a transition point. It's a threshold. It's a one translation says it's a controlled entry into the presence and the power of God. It's the place of entrance, or it's the place of exit. Psalm 24:7, and I already quoted it for you, says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in." The Bible talks about it. Jesus talked about that gate of heaven this way in Matthew 7:13. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by that gate." But he said, listen, because the gate is narrow and difficult, the way which leads to life, there are few that find it. There's a gate that Jesus talks about that is the opening of our heart, but the opening of the gate of our mind, so that now the Spirit of God can renovate us and take us through that passageway into greater realms of His glory than we've ever known or experienced in our life. A gate. It's very important. Jacob says the place of the gate of heaven. Because remember, there's a protocol at this gate. Now watch. There's a protocol at the gate. Because you see, in that time, in Bible days, the elders would sit at the gates of the cities. They were walled cities. They were not like we have in America. No walls around our cities. Or even around the United States, all right? But the elders would sit at the gates at the entry point, and they would guard the city by judging at the gate. They would decide who and choose who or what is allowed into that city at the gate. Now, I want you to liken this. This is what the mind is. There's a gate in our lives that we must sit at and guard what comes in that gate. Are we going to open that gate to the things of heaven? Are we going to open that gate of our mind to the things of the world? We've got to sit there and guard that gate. But that's what the power of the Spirit is for. Now watch this. Because, see, there are always, we're always in every city, two gates right beside each other. A main gate and a smaller gate. The main gate was very huge, very big, very wide, very large. And it would, opened up, it would allow caravans to come in and so forth. The other gate was a walk-through gate. In fact, you couldn't go through the big gate until you went through the little gate. When you went through the little gate, then you were interrogated by the elders as to what your business is in the city and whether or not you were desirable enough to be let into that city. At that point, they would even throw thieves out of the city. Now, Jesus talked about that gate being, that small gate being the eye of the camel or the eye of the needle in the scripture. So now watch as we walk this out. Our minds, all right, choose. We decide. Our minds guard. We choose life or death, blessing or cursing. We choose bondage or we choose freedom. But watch this, because life, true life, takes place inside the inner gate. Or in the place of the Spirit of the Lord. So when you open up your mind to the things of God, life takes place within that gate. But death took place outside the gate. All right? So follow this through with me. Life took place within the gates of heaven. How many of you understand that in your life, in your relationship with Jesus, that when you open up your heart to everything He has for you, heaven will come on earth? You have life within heaven's gates. Are you with me? All right. Heaven's gates. I want to take you to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18 is an illustration about King David, who is sitting at the gates of Jerusalem. The king himself comes to sit at the gates of Jerusalem. That's very unusual for a king to come down into the chambers by the gates of the city and sit there. But what we have to understand and what we've got to know is this, that David had sent his men off to war. And so as the men are off to war, he's sitting at the gate waiting for word as to who conquered the enemy. He's waiting for his servants to come, his captains to come, or a runner to come and to tell him what was going on the battlefield. And the Bible says that David sat at those gates. In fact, the Bible says he sat between the gates. He sat between the outer gate and the inner gate in the middle of that battle. There was a passageway, all right, in that to the inner gate through the small gate, all right, where there were interrogation rooms where the elders would interview everybody coming in and out, as we already said. That was the protocol. Those rooms were called chambers. Our mind is the chambers of imagery. We guard things there. And the guards were there in that area. David was there. And those guards would hold the people that would be a deterrent in the city. They would hold the enemies, the haters of Israel. They would hold the thieves. They would hold the murderers. They would hold the lawbreakers. And they would not let them into the city to protect the city. They would send them back out and say, "You are not allowed here. You have no place here. You cannot come into this city and putrefy and bring the sin of their destruction into the city." It was a very powerful thing that they would do, and they would guard them. So they would reject them and cast them out. Somebody say, reject them and cast them out. David is sitting at this gate. It's the place where arguments were silenced, where agreements were made verbally and sealed, and said, "All right, I make an agreement with you. You are allowed in through the gate into the city." Or they would say, "No, you are rejected," and they would cast them out of the city. All right? And they would mark them. Now, I want you to see something very powerful. I quoted this verse, but this is where it fits in the notes, in the teaching. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, the Bible says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations or arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." We sit at the gate of our own mind, so to speak, to open the gate to the heaven, to the glory of God, but to shut the gate to the enemy, to the accuser, to the thief. Pastor Joshua, I don't know if they're hearing me. Hello, somebody. And cast them down, not allowing them in. Are you getting this? Is anybody getting this? And I'm not even done yet, but here we go. Because at the gates, justice was passed. Judgment happened at the gates. Now, the Bible says all of God's ways are justice. Hallelujah. The Bible says God loves justice. But Romans says this in verse 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, we have entrance. Come on, somebody. Entrance into freedom. So at the gates of heaven, see, the mind decides. The mind chooses to accept or reject the righteous judgment of God, which allows us into the gate of heaven. Now, here's what's happening with King David in 2 Samuel 18. He's deeply moved, and so he goes to the chamber over the gate, and there in the chamber over the gate, he begins to pray, and he begins to intercede. And while he's calling out to God, a runner comes and begins to tell them of the victory and begins to shout, the victory is complete. The victory is done. The victory is finished. He was shouting, Absalom is dead. Amen. And declaring that the king has won. And David hears the news. Now listen, this is a type and shadow of our Father in heaven. Watch this. A type and shadow. The Father in heaven is sitting at heaven's gate. Do you remember in Genesis 28 where Jacob saw the Father at the top of the ladder of angels? And he was there declaring and releasing things back down to Jacob. Our Father sits, you got to get this. Our Father sits at the gate of heaven. And there he's interceding. Come on. Jesus is interceding. He's waiting for the runner to come with the announcement. When Jesus was on the earth, he's waiting for a runner to come with the announcement that said, hey, the victory over Satan's been won. Father, it's all done. Oh, come on, somebody. This is shouting preaching. The Jesus won the victory. It's all happened. It is finished. It's taken care of. And the Bible says that David, after he heard that runner, goes to the inner gate. And on the balcony of the chamber, out into the city, David begins to announce and declare and proclaim and decree the word of the Lord at the gate, that the victory was won and the battle is over. Come on, hallelujah. And that the enemy is defeated. I've got good news for you, because the God of heaven is announcing at the gate of your mind that victory is already complete. It's finished. The battle has to end. The war in the mind has to stop, because the power of God and the word of the Lord is greater than the works of the enemy. But here's what we've got to do. We've got to go to the gate, because the revelation is we're the house of God. And there's a gate of heaven. And we've got to go to the gate and declare and proclaim the word of the Lord at the gate of heaven. Hallelujah. It announces to the enemy, you're a defeated foe. Devil, you have no power in my mind anymore. You've got to take the word of the Lord and say to him, come on flesh, come on carnality, come on selfishness, come on lust. In the name of Jesus, you are defeated at the gate of heaven, because the glory of the Lord is there at the gate of heaven. Announce it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're the elder sitting at your gate. And God, through Jesus, has already announced the victory to you. Now you announce the victory to the enemy. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout glory to God. Somebody declare it. Here's why we have to do that. At the gate of our mind. Because the Bible says that as believers who are the temple of the living God, we are also the oracles of God. We are the mouthpiece of God. And you can go to the chamber by the gate at the altar. And stand up and begin to declare, my gate, the gate of my mind, will be open to heaven, but the gate of my mind will be closed to the powers of darkness. And because I'm an oracle of God, and you are an oracle of God, which is a mouthpiece of God, you can declare the word of the Lord at the gate. Anybody getting anything? I'm telling you, Romans 12 fits in here so powerfully. Verse 1 and 2. Let me read it to you as we're pulling this together. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, your reasonable worship, as the temple of the living God. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't be conformed, be transformed. Encounters of transformation. Transformed. You stay transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you keep proclaiming and decreeing at the gate, no, I don't think those kind of thoughts anymore, devil. I don't receive that negative thought. I don't receive that wicked imagination. Oh, come on, somebody. That was back there. That chamber has already been cleaned out by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And filled up with the word of the living God. And you can proclaim the victory of the Lord at the gate. Come on, everybody stand together. Come on, let's praise Him.